We're now joined by Craig Lingard. Craig, what's your thoughts and assessments after a sixth straight win against Halifax this afternoon?
Yeah, pleasing, mate. It's always nice to get wins, and with the points that we've put on the board as well, it shows that, you know, the connectivity they've got with the pivots now, with Jordan and Kai and Greg at fullback, we're a threat in good ball areas, and I thought some of our defensive efforts on our goal line as well today were pretty manful at times. And, you know, the disappointing part about that is that we put ourselves down there, we were ill-disciplined at times and did too much defending, but, you know, how they defended on that goal line were really, really pleasing.
You must be delighted with that desperate, resilient defence in that first half. No more so than the tackle to send Ben Tibbs into touch.
Yeah, and look, we talk about goal line D all the time. It's not pretty, and it's not sometimes not as sort of efficient as it needs to be. But that's goal line D. You're going to get challenged, and it's, if you're making a defensive error read, then somebody's got to be there to cover your back. And it is desperation. It's preventing tries by any means necessary. And you might be a middle defending out in the centre. You might be a winger or a centre that's got caught in the middle, and you do whatever you need to do until you can get back to your position. And that's what goal line defence is all about. And it's more of an attitude thing rather than a technical and tactical thing. You've got to want to put your body on the line. You've got to want to chase and close people down. And I thought we did that in the first half today.
It was the 11th game with Kai Morgan and Jordan Abdul in the spine. How do you feel and think they're progressing?
Really well. I think Jordan's been great for us. I've said a few times now over recent weeks that Jordan sort of dropped into the old school seven role, where he'll just control the middle of the field, and it gives Kai the opportunity and the freedom to fly around left, right, or in the middle. And I think he's developing his running game now on the back of Jordan digging into the line. He's real good at engaging defenders and creating that that indecision between the three and four defenders on an edge, and Kai's options at the minute that he's choosing, particularly Greg out the back as well. He knows when to run, he knows when to pass, and I think that connection between them two has certainly been helped with Greg Eden at fullback as well.
The signing of Jordan Abdul has created a lot of headlines, Craig. Have you felt you've had to step in there, or and maybe perhaps speak to Jordan, or are you just allowing him to turn up, play and express?
Yeah, listen, you hear all these rumours on social media about Jordan doesn't train and he just turns up and plays. It's a load of rubbish, absolute load of rubbish. Is that every single session that we have, he's on the field every single time that we're training. He is what he is, Jordan. You know, he's obviously not as fit as what probably needs to be, but his brain gets him around the field and saves him the meters, and his nous and his know-how and his experience is first class, and we're an ideal fit for us. That's what we needed at that particular time. You know, I can't speak any higher than Jordan now he's been since he's been at the club.
You scored 48 points. You've referenced it a little bit in that second half. Halifax, I think, scored 3 tries in a 10-minute spell. Mm. Certainly room for improvement.
Yeah, there is. You know, I think they went back-to-back, didn't they? And we put ourselves in that position where I think we conceded a penalty on tackle 1 and 2-6 against in the set, and then they scored and they went back-to-back. So, you know, there's certain areas of his discipline that we can get better. I thought some of the, maybe some of the decisions, the penalties or whatever, were 50-50, they could go either way. But we can't control that. And we've talked about that all season. It's the next job mentality. It's what happens next. You know, we can't control once we've dropped the ball, it's done. We've got to make sure that the next defensive set is the thing that we can control. And I think some of our reactions to the 6 agains and the penalties weren't great. But that's me being really, really picky, because the heat today that the players played in, we've got a lot of people that were struggling, you know, certainly for the last sort of 15-20 minutes of the game with the heat and the ground and just with the bodies as well. It's that time of the season where players have put their bodies through a lot this year, and something physicality wise it's really tough on days like this, and when the ground's as hard as it is. So that's just me being really, 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 really picky. And if you could have given me the score at the start of the game, I'd have snapped your hands off.
Just on a player, Reece Butterworth, and how he's kind of, you know, conducted himself after going out to Rochdale on loan at the start of the season, you know. Yeah, well, he's like a totally different player.
Yeah, he's playing with that freedom now, isn't he? We know what Butty brings. It was just at that time we were playing Harry Bowles as a 9, and obviously Corey Johnson as a 9. You can't carry 3 9s. And then as the season's progressed, with the injuries that we've had, we've been using Harry Bowles more as a 13, because he can do long minutes for us as well, which then creates the opportunity for Reece to come back in as that 9 rotation. And he does long minutes as well, so if a 9 goes down, you know, you can keep him out there for the rest of the game as soon as he comes on. And, you know, he has his little brain explosions now and again, but that's what you've got to expect with somebody like Reece. But he's got the potential, like he did today, kicked another 40-20. Sometimes he'll try a 40-20, he'll go out on the full, it'll go backwards, but that's what you've got to take. But I think his choice of of running from dummy half is getting so much better on the back of some of our middle carries as well. So he's a point of difference for us at times when he comes on and creating them opportunities to quick play the balls as well.
Billy Walkley had to leave the field. I think it was a HIA. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, he's failed that, unfortunately, for Billy. I think he's been outstanding this season, not just with the tries that he's scored. You know, wingers are judged on the tries that they've scored, but how he's, you know, it puts his body on the line physically wise every single week, and you know, how he don't get injured more than what he does is remarkable. You know, the way that he carries the ball, the way that he puts himself in there in defence, and just really pleased for him that he's had the rewards with the tries on the board this year. So he'll be a massive loss for us over the next week or so when he's out, but you know, it gives Ryan Mill that opportunity now to come back in and play on that wing.
How do you assess the current form? 5 straight wins here at home, yep. 6 in total. I know you said to me at the Magic Weekend you feel you might just fall short of the top 6, but you're certainly building something special here.
Yeah, we are, and you know, we'll control what we can control, and if we can keep winning every week, then that's all we can control. You know, we obviously need some results to go our way elsewhere for us to get into that 6, but you know, even if we don't get in the 6, we're still in form towards the end of the season, that's the main thing, is going into the playoffs at the end of the year, playing with confidence, playing by winning week in, week out, and then we'll back ourselves to beat anybody in this division. You know, London might be a stretch too far, but away from that, we'll back ourselves to beat anybody in this division.
Well, witness have just pushed London, yeah, yeah. I think it was 42-36, yeah. So they've certainly shown that London perhaps can be susceptible.
Yeah, and it's difficult to maintain that form all the way through the season. Teams are going to have blips every now and again, whether it's just blips, they might not have a blip where they lose a game, but they'll have blips in performances. And I've always said that for a team to beat London this year, they probably need to be a 4 out of 5, and you'll need to be a 4 out of 10, and you'll need to be a 9 out of 10 for that to happen, because the quality of players that they've got is just you know, it's massive, and you know, the way that they're playing has just been so consistent this year. So I said we'll control those, and hopefully that gets us the wins that we need in the league, and if we get in the 6, we do. If we don't, then it's knockout rugby week in, week out.
I know I'm probably jumping the gun 3 or 4 weeks. Widnes have said they're not going to come here on a Thursday evening because of the 1895 Cup final. What's your understanding of the situation? Because when you look at it, it looks a bit of a mess trying to fit everything in, because if Widnes or Sheffield are not in that sort of top 6, then they're going to be in those eliminators in week one.
Yeah, 100%. And I think this has been a situation that's been caused needlessly. I think just with a lack of organisation of the 1895 Cup final from minute one in the season, why should we be playing the 1895 Cup final the day after the last game of the season, when you know full well that 4 teams are going to be impacted and affected? And it's just poor planning for me. Look, there's a date that's been given by the RFL to play, and our witness have appealed against that, as you'd expect them to do that. But you know, we'll play on the date that we're told to play on, and you know, as a coach, once we get that date, we'll prep for that date.
I'm kind of guessing from part-time player point of view, if it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday, obviously that might have a few constraints for you, but you know, you're going to be happy to turn up.
Yeah, look, it's not ideal at part-time rugby if you're told to play 3 games in 7 days. You know, if you're playing Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, it's not ideal, and we're supposedly a game that cares about player welfare, and with the season that we've had this season and the number of games that the players are playing, and certainly part-time players, I don't think that's conducive to player welfare, playing 3 games in 7 days, certainly with the amount of injuries that teams have had this season. Squads are depleted all the way across rugby league, not just in Championship, in Super League as well, and then expecting players to play 3 games in them 7 or 8 days, I think it's just a little bit too much, and it's a situation that could have been prevented.
And just finally, Craig, what's your understanding on the salary cap and potential central funding that Sheffield are going to be given next season? I spoke to a number of Championship coaches already, and they're like, we've just got a big question mark. You know, you might as well ask the Riddler, nobody knows. Yeah.
That's my answer as well. I'm in exactly the same position as a lot of other coaches. It's not my remit in that one as well. That's down to the board of directors and the people who were paid to do them jobs. But you know, certainly at the minute, our recruitment and retention it's on hold. We've not done anything at the minute just because of that uncertainty about what's happening. And you've got players now. We're what, 4 games off the end of the league campaign, and players are out of contracts at the end of the year, and they're wanting to try and get themselves sorted out. But there's a lot of clubs in the same situation where they're not talking to players just because they don't know what's happening. You know, is a London going to be in Championship next year? Are they going to Super League? Is somebody coming back down? Is Featherston going to come back in? Is it going to be a division of 19? Is it going to be split? Is it going to be 2 divisions of 10 if another team comes in? And any other team's going to be out of the league next year? We just don't know. And I think as a game, we need to get better at this organisation, because it happens year in, year out, where we get to pre-season sometimes and we don't even know what the league looks like or what the competition looks like. And, you know, my understanding with the IMG coming in, well, this were one of the reasons why it came in, so you could prepare 12 months in advance for where you were going to be and what you were going to do. But, you know, we still seem to be in the same situation. And I guess I'm probably talking as a head coach here, but I'm also a rugby league fan, you know, and I've got my rugby league fans head on. And it's, you know, when you're involved in the game internally like I am, and you still don't know a great deal of the answers, then I can understand fully how the fans are feeling.
Craig, thank you for your time. All the best and good luck next week in that big game at Boundary Park against Oldham.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate that.
This is West Yorkshire Rugby League Radio with Mick the Game Caller Gledhill.